The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Today on Quick Slants, the podcast, the Patriots re-enter their schedule after the bye. 5 out of 6 games away from Gillette Stadium. Are they prepared for the gauntlet that awaits them? How would they be if they lost their starting quarterback? What has Gerard ever done on the bye to get himself in trouble with Bill Belichick?
All that and more on Quick Slants, the podcast.
That was the good one.
Yeah, that was a good
that
one.
Was felt solid. Good.
It
felt
I feel
good.
Great.
Yeah. How you doing? That's Gerard's voice over here. This is Phil's voice.
Yeah, this is me. Gerard Mayo.
Well, first things first.
Yeah.
Coming out of the bye, Phil, you did a report card, and I took exception with a number of the grades that you handed out. Offensive line?
Yeah.
What'd you give them?
I think they got a B minus.
Yeah. Little high.
High? You think so? I thought they'd figured it out basically the last 4 weeks. It's interesting. It feels like
we grade on the entire semester.
That's true.
That is very true.
And so if you're you're a C minus for the first 4 weeks and then you're an A minus for the last three, you get up creep up into that
but
C
you know
plus
what?
B minus.
With the mediocrity that we're seeing around the league, there's a curve.
There is a curve, I think, for the offensive line. People look at Nate Solder and it's like, oh, he gave up 7 hurries against Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. Yeah, because it's Joey Bosa and freaking Melvin Ingram, and these guys are physical freaks that are coming off an assembly line somewhere. God knows where.
Sign them up!
And it's really hard to stop them.
That assembly line is making more and more players like that, though. You got Von Miller coming up for the Patriots this week. You have next week Khalil Mack. Are there more explosive edge rushers in the NFL? I'm going to kind of shift gears from what you were talking about.
We'll come back to
that.
To
I mean,
that's a Phil question.
No, are there more now than there were in 08?
I think you have a lot of guys who are specialists, right, as far as rushing the passer. Even like a guy like Chandler. I think Chandler has like 9 or 10 sacks already this year. But those guys are like, you know, those are your third down specialists. But as soon as teams get back to like, you know what, we're going to run the ball. And there are only a few of those guys who can both play the run and the pass. Like, honestly, you know, Matt can still play the run. Von Miller can still play the run. But a lot of the moves that these guys are doing would put them in awkward positions to really play the run. What but right now, teams are just spreading out the formation.
What does Bill Belichick have against getting pressure on the quarterback?
No, he has nothing. Nothing. There's nothing wrong with getting pressure on the quarterback. It's all about running past the quarterback, as you guys know. Because when you run past the quarterback, there's nothing. You can't do anything. You're not helping the team.
How many sacks are generated by running past him, though?
Some.
A lot.
Some. Not a lot. But those
but
are called
get turn that corner. And
but those
back.
Are almost coverage sacks, right?
Yeah, and those are called chase, right? So it's called a chase. And I don't want to get too technical
we like that.
Listen,
that.
So when you see a Patriot player running past a quarterback,
yeah. Cassius Marsh.
Sometimes they call that, right? They call it Ram and I think it was Ram and Lion.
Interesting.
But what happens if I call Ram, what does that mean?
Run past a quarterback.
No, it doesn't.
You just said that.
I said Ram and Lion. That means R and L, right and left. Oh. It means from the right-hand side, the Ram.
I thought that was Ricky and Lucy.
Keep up. This is why
Linda,
I don't get too deep
with you
guys.
I thought
it was Run at
there
Ram.
There was a
all
Linda
those
involved.
Ram, Lucy, Rita, Larry,
okay.
Roy,
Ram and Lion.
Lee.
Got it.
All the R's and L's. You guys have been covering football for a long time now. Let's keep up.
Yeah.
So if I call Rams,
the only things keep me out of it.
The left side is breaking the pocket, right? Then when I mean breaking the pocket, they're coming inside, right, to kind of crush the pocket inside. Mm-hmm. So hopefully the quarterback runs out to the quarterback's right-hand side. And hopefully your Ram or your chaser, who is running, he's already past the tackle because the tackle doesn't expect you to get, you know, pass
that
him
deep.
Like that.
So he's
that
gonna
deep.
Be,
so now he's chasing and hopefully gets that chase
he's
sack.
He's past the tackle on the right-hand side.
On the right-hand
of the
side. He's running past the quarterback.
So he
as
beat
well.
The left tackle. He's taking that long route around.
That's interesting that you call that. Is that something the Patriots do all that often? Because it seems like for the most part, they want to keep the quarterback in the pocket.
Yeah,
don't they?
Depending on it's a specific call. When you see a Patriots lineman going past the quarterback, if that wasn't the call, he's getting pulled.
It's either a mistake or it's a Ram Lion type deal.
Yeah, definitely. And there's so many different ways to get pressure on the quarterback without running past the quarterback. I know some specialists, Chandler and all those guys, who would always say, even Ninkovich, you should get Ninkovich on this podcast. It's okay to run past the quarterback as long as I beat my guy, and then all of a sudden I turn my toes this way, right? But all of a sudden you run past the quarterback and now there's a lane for him to step up, and this tackle who's 6'6" is going to push you right past the quarterback, right?
And it's funny that do you consider those guys specialists? Because those guys were guys that were out on the field 100% of the time.
Chandler Jones, for sure. Yeah. And
you could have made him a specialist, but he wasn't a specialist.
No, because you're going to pay this guy a lot of of these guys are your higher pay.
Oh, yeah, big
dollars. And you can't just come in on third down and all of a sudden. You have to be out there for three downs just to justify the cost. Because if you're just out there on third downs, the 15 third downs, and you just signed a $70 million deal.
Somebody like Vic Beasley.
Not like how Chandler and these other guys and Khalil Mack are getting paid. They do get paid, like a guy like Cliff Averill. Some of these guys will get the $30 million, $35 million just to be a pass rusher, situational pass rusher. When you're in the $70, $80 million range,
You're never down. Yeah.
If you look at the players who've gone out, and this is actually a good time to do this because we look at this team at 6-2, going to head into the second half of the season. The expectation is they're certainly going to make the playoffs. However far they go will probably be dictated by the defense, because at some time they're going to run into an offense. Excuse me, the Patriots offense is going to run into a defense that holds them down. So they're going to have to win a game in the teens or low 20s at some point. It's just the makeup of the season.
The defense has played well the last few
weeks. It has. It has. And eventually they're going to see a team, I don't know when it'll be, that is competent, i.e. Kansas City or Pittsburgh, both are competent offenses. Of Jamie Collins, Rob Ninkovich, Chris Long, Jabal Sheard, and Chandler Jones, which guy do you think would be the skill player that they miss the most?
I would, that's a tough one, right? Because –
And we're taking out all the shit that allegedly this guy was tough to coach or that guy was.
Yeah, obviously. I think you miss a guy. Well, obviously you want Hightower back.
That would be a good one to have back.
But they still don't have this situational pass rusher. So there was a game, I think it was a Jet game or the Jets game or something, and it was 3rd and 17, and Matty P called the corner blitz, and I was like,
right.
That said a lot to me, just seeing that right now he feels like he doesn't have anyone that can really just say, hey, you know what, one-on-one, beat this guy to the spot and get a sack.
They really don't have – it's Flowers and it's Wise right now.
Yeah.
And outside of those two guys, you're not getting a ton of pressure. I think Wise has been actually really good. The end of that Chargers game, those guys were pretty gassed. They played a lot.
Yeah.
I thought he had a couple pretty good pressures that forced Rivers into some incompletions. But that was my big thing at the trade deadline. I think you said it too. Trade deadline – try to find a pass rusher if you can.
Because when Rivers
they weren't
got
able
hurt.
To get it. So I guess, Tom, the answer to your question for me would be Chandler Jones. Yeah.
Such an equalizer, I would think, when you have to account for that guy on third down to make the guys on the interior better.
But I'm taking Hightower over Chandler. And that's,
you are.
For sure.
Well, because he can do that, too.
He can do that. Yeah. He can also communicate. Chandler wasn't communicating. It was like he's not covering. He's not, he's not as versatile as a guy like Hightower.
Can I ask you? Because I saw in that Chargers game, it felt like, and this is something they've done a lot of in the past, but in order to generate pressure, it looked like they were doing a lot of what you guys did in 2014 with Akeem Ayers and Ninkovich, and you had these ends who could drop into coverage, and you walk the middle linebackers up, or not walk them up, but at times you just sprint them up from the second level, and it might look like a four-man rush to start, and it might end up being a four-man rush, but instead of the two ends coming, you get these two middle linebackers and two defensive tackles. And they were able to confuse the Chargers, it looked like to me at least, a lot in that game. They did it almost 20 times by my count.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about, right? Because that goes back to the point where we just don't have a guy where we can say, you know what, you can give us three outs right here. We know you're going to, like Rivera, right? We know if we put Rivera in, we're going to get the Yankees, we're going to get three outs. Boom, that's going to happen. They don't have a guy where it's like a Dwight Freeney in his prime, like, hey, we're going to put you out there. We know they have to pass. They know they have to pass. The fans know they have to pass. Mm-hmm. can you beat this guy to the spot? They don't have that guy. So right now, what are they doing? They're trying to show five and six down, right, to try to confuse some of these centers and quarterbacks. Because, you know, sometimes the quarterback will make the protection call. Sometimes the center will make the protection call. And that was one thing with the Jets when Sanchez was there. It was like we would listen to film. And sometimes Sanchez would be there. He'd be like, oh, 55 the mic. He was like, ah. And you would see Mangold turn around like, no. That's not what we're doing. That's not what we're doing, right? Yeah. So when you get into that situation, now you know you have them right where you want them. Now, you know, Hightower and I would step up. You have Ninkovich on the edge. Now it doesn't matter what the call is. And this is what it goes back to having the tools, right? And why Bill and Matty P and Josh McDaniels, you know, they're such great coaches. Because, you know, there are plays, and they're not there yet, but they will get to this point where, you know, Bill will say, you know, these are your tools. Here you go. Use what use these tools as you see fit. You're closest to the problem. You figure it out. So back in tight, they come out 11 personnel. Between us three, we have the pressure, the back, and the tight end. Doesn't matter who's doing what.
Just have to figure it out between you.
Figure it out. So, you know, just use myself, plug myself in, because I'm just living vicariously through these guys at this point, right?
No, this is good.
I plug myself in the middle, and I'll just put Jamie, just all of a sudden just came back, and Ninkovich and Hightower on the outside, right? And we would just all, you know, they would look at me in the middle, and they say, what do you want to do? And I would say, y'all go ahead, or do whatever you're going to do, I'll take him, boom. And then Ninkovich would say, yeah, I'll take the back. And then Hightower will make his call inside. And then the next time we come out, we just all line up the same shells, all right? Same shell we talked about last week. We all just line up at the line of scrimmage. They're still trying to figure it out. They point me out. 51's the mic. All right. They're calling me out as the mic. You go. We'll take these two, right? Mm-hmm. So now you get to the point where you're really playing the game within the game, and that's when it starts to get fun, because that's when guys start getting those free sacks. And free sacks are always good for me, because I had no pass rusher move, no skill, no type of pass rusher skill. I was like, Chandler, I'll be your tackle. You can practice on me here in the locker room. I don't want to practice
why?
That.
Why? Why didn't you have any skills? I thought you were quick, fast.
You know why? Because I would always run fast. Past the quarterback. I was so fast, I was past the quarterback in two steps, and Bill's like, get him out of there.
See, this guy, I remember, it might have been 14. It might have been 14 or it was 15, but I remember coming to you and writing a story about you as a pass rusher, because there was a point in the season, we were like halfway through the season, and you maybe had a handful of sacks, and it was like your total from the year before
something.
And I was like, so what are you doing? How are you doing this? And you're like,
confusion.
First of all, he didn't want to talk to me because he just...
Because you had your chest hair
out. I had my chest hair out. He's intimidated. but he was like, no, okay, before everybody comes over here, I said, we'll talk football for a little bit. I think that's why you talked to me at all, was because it was about football
stuff. I love
talking
football.
It wasn't like, you know, the TMZ stuff, as you like to put it. But that's what it was. It was like instinct, speed, and like, it sounds like the communication. I didn't realize that was as big a part of it.
Oh, for sure. Because you can bump. This is, you know, we had the freedom. And once again, they're not there yet.
It's all deception.
Yeah, we would have the freedom to move the defensive tackles, bump them to a side, and we would just show up in a three technique. Like, we would show up as a tackle, or I'll put Hightower in as a tackle, and I would go line up outside, right? So now, especially if you go into a game, right, and you're like, all right, 54 has five sacks on the season so far, so we're going to count him as the fifth lineman, no matter where he is. And so when you get into situations like that, it's like, perfect, because now we're going to send 50 from this side, who's a stand-up linebacker now. So now they don't know, is this guy a defensive end? Is this guy a defensive? Are we counting him as a defensive tackle? Are we counting him as a DN? Are we counting him as an inside backer? And now everyone's like, bah, 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 bah. And then when you get him like that, you see the smoke. You can legit smell the smoke coming out of the ears of the quarterback in the line. It's great. Even a guy like Tom, and we would practice this stuff, you know, against the greatest quarterback of all time, right? So we would practice this with Tom, and Tom would mess it up. Mm-hmm. And then we would walk through it. And do things like that.
Well, you picked off, not you, but I think it was Ninkovich picked off Peyton Manning that year in 2014.
Oh, for sure.
Doing that, dropping into coverage. Yeah,
He did it again.
And then, they got Rivers. You got Rivers a few weeks later. Yeah. You know, these are like two of the smartest quarterbacks in the NFL. And Rivers still, you know, this was 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Rivers still couldn't figure it out the other day. And their linemen couldn't either. And when you see Roberts coming through on some of those, you know, they look like run blitzes, and he's tackling Melvin Gordon for -2. But Trey Flowers is dumping out, covering in the flat. I guess that's kind of what we're seeing right there.
We're talking a lot right now about the freedom that you guys have within the defense. And I don't want to go back into ancient history and talk about a year ago, but you guys have some fundamentals you have to adhere to. What was Jamie Collins doing that was pissing people off because he was freelancing? Because it sounds like, was he saying, okay, you got the back, you drop and you are going to go, and he would do something aside
from think that was more, you know, I don't think it was part of, you know, the pass rushing was the problem, right, or the communication, because James is a smart guy. And he knew, like, you know, with football, he knows it. You know, he knows the calls. He knew all that stuff. It was more like the run fits, I think, that he was really having a hard time with the run fits, especially when, even now, you know what they're doing now with the run fits. Like, say a guy like Roberts or whoever is at the mic, they're just shooting them through the middle. They're just shooting them through the middle, so it declares right now. So what you're going to see this week, you know, I don't want to give the game plan away, but I'm pretty sure this is what you're going to see. You're going to see stuff like that against a stretch run game, so the other linebacker can ball and chain and get over the top as fast as possible, right? So now all of a sudden,
explain
the cutback
that ball
is done.
And chain thing, because that's interesting.
Yeah, because linebackers, you know, all of us, you know, whether you have two linebackers or three linebackers, we all work together, right? If one linebacker shoots, the other linebacker's over the top, and the other linebacker's over the top of that one, right? Depending on which way the ball goes. So I know all of a sudden, if Hightower took the wrong gap, I know what gaps open, and that's when it comes to knowing where your guys are and positioning people where you want them to be. I led the league in tackles, the NFL once and then the AFC twice. And how I did that, I had a guy like Spikes who just liked to hit people, right? He just liked to hit people.
Sure did.
Right?
Yeah.
And I could move the defensive linemen where I wanted to be, where I wanted them to be. So if I wanted them to be in the A-gap, I wanted the A-gap, in the C gap, in the B gap, all taken care of, I would just spike all these guys in those gaps. And I knew the ball wasn't going to go there, so it had to bounce out wide. And I would just scrape over the top and make the tackle, right? Mm. So it's being able to use those tools and do different things like that. You can put yourself in a good position.
When they bring a linebacker, when they scream a line like Roberts, mm-hmm. or they did it sometimes with David Harris last week, is that taking, if it's a four-man front, like we talked a lot about, we did a whole podcast with Andy Benoit of MMQB on the diamond front. Mm. The diamond. Do you remember talking about this? We talked about it too. We did the five. Right. We did the. You got the five man front. You got somebody right on the nose there. There were four man lines where maybe there wasn't anybody on the nose, but you had Roberts.
Yep.
Screaming up. Is that almost like? And then you have one on ones.
Yeah.
Or you should have one on ones across the board, offense and defense.
You can line up in diamond, or you can get to diamond.
Gotcha.
Through movement, right?
Yep.
But then there's also dolphin, right? So.
Ooh. I don't know that one.
Well, you can call it whatever. You can call it.
I'm waiting for him to make a dolphin. It sounds like it feels like you should. Oh, it feels like you would have that in the bag. You don't have that one.
You can call. I don't care.
I just started coughing. You know I'm like, diminished
it's
right
more
now.
Like that. I didn't know that.
You can call it penguin. I don't care what you call it. What sounds a penguin make?
I just know
Happy Feet. I love that Happy Feet movie. That's not what.
That's
a pigeon.
That's a pigeon. Sorry, my bad.
What? That's a Boston.
We're going to have you work on that.
Listen, but sometimes, right?
I don't feel like I'm really involved right now.
we're losing. we can put the defensive tackles three techniques, and we can probably go over this one day. It's probably good for next week.
Okay.
Techniques. We can put them, you know, shade them on the outsides of the guards, right? And just tell them to go right up the field. And that way they're setting the edge. They're one gapping. They're no longer in the two gap mode. And now the two linebackers inside have to make the play, right?
Gotcha.
Ball and chain. So.
Mm-hmm.
Are the linebackers good enough right now?
Yeah, for sure.
Because at this point, it's not if they're good enough, right? Are they?
Can they communicate the
enough?
Way you guys did, though? Can they make those decisions like you and Ninkovich and Hightower would right before the
they,
snap?
They
like
can.
That?
But what happens?
But
with
who
these
would
guys,
the who would that? Sorry to interrupt. Who would the three guys be? Is it Roberts, Vannoy, and Flowers? Is it Roberts?
Well, it
Van
wouldn't
Noy
be Flowers. It would be
Harris played a good amount last week.
Yeah,
it would be
Harris in the middle, Vannoy.
Marsh. Would he be one of those guys? Cassius Marsh. He's on that left end sometimes.
Yeah, maybe not. It's kind of tough. And that goes back to knowing who your personnel is, right? So,
don't run that shit if the other guy can't do it.
Well,
right.
Like in Diamond,
in 2008,
in Diamond, it is Flowers who's opposite.
For sure.
Van Noy as like the true end, like the wide end.
You know why you're getting Diamond just for the one-on-ones, right? Yeah. So now you have to win. If we're putting everyone in one-on-ones, like you have to
win. You got to beat your guy.
Two-gapping is pretty tough because, you know, you have two gaps. You're hoping that two arm tackles equal a whole tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Bill probably hates that I say that, but whatever. But it's kind of like knowing who's on the field, right? Knowing your personnel. So it starts with the coaches. And then it's like a change call, right? Going back to, I know we have a back. If I have Ninkovich out here, it's a lot different than having Ty Warren out here. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling Ty Warren to drop in the flats or take the back. Go take the back, Ty. Do 6'5", 330 pounds.
Jamal Charles.
Right. Yeah. So I remember, you know, we had tools like that, and every once in a while there would be a substitute, and I would look over, and it would be like, you know, it'd be like Vince playing defensive end. I'm like, forget it. We're going straight. We're just going straight rush. You guys just go, right?
And some guys will not realize that, though, and
for sure
run something that.
And then they realize they mess up.
Like, what did you do?
Oh, yeah. And then it's like, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And then when you get to the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, it's like, now you get to the sideline, and it's like, what are we doing? And now everything's tossed out. So we're just going to run straight. And when you're running, like, a basic, like, straight defense, like quarterbacks, even, like, you know, like Hundley can figure it out, right?
Holy crap, he was bad.
He had a hard time.
He was terrified of the rush. It was funny to watch him, and we're talking about the Green Bay Packers backup last night. Anytime anyone seemed to break any contain or start to breathe on him, his eyes immediately went down.
Yeah.
Could not keep him downfield.
You know, and that's what happens. They call that watching the rush. And when you get a quarterback in that situation, you already know the game's over.
How hard is it to play in Denver? Did it ever bother you altitude-wise?
And I remember, you know, every year, it seems like Denver is in our division.
Seriously.
We play them every year. But the thing about it, I remember Bill saying, you know, every year he would say the same thing. I don't want to hear anything about the altitude and all that. So I'm like, you know, he's like, it's all in your mind. I'm like, you know, the spit's so thick in your mouth as you run one guess. It's like, I can't swallow. the spit in my mouth, it's like thick mucus. Ugh. The viscosity is unreal. The viscosity is unreal. I'm like, Bill, what are you talking about? It's thick. It is thick. I don't know, man.
Every year, I mean, players do a good job not talking about it because we ask you guys every year and everybody's like, no.
I am free. It's tough. It is tough.
This will be good tomorrow at the press conference. Bill, Gerard Mayo said that it's just bullshit.
Gerard said the viscosity of his saliva was out of control. Yeah. He's going to say, well, tell Gerard to drink more water.
Do you adjust during that particular game, or is it a week, 10 days of adjustment? Because these guys are going to play two games at altitude.
For
the
sure.
Second game they play, and that's why, be twice
and
as high.
They'll probably stay out there. They'll probably stay,
yeah,
right?
So it's
like they are
yeah, and they
Colorado.
Won't fly out on a Saturday like you usually do. They'll probably go in a Friday.
They're leaving this Friday, yes, to go to Denver.
Which in itself, right, for me, and this is my opinion, whoever listens to this podcast, when you go.
Everybody listens.
Either you go, 80,000 listeners.
Everybody.
My thing is this. If you're going to try to go out there a day, a couple of days early, I feel like the second day is like the worst day. Like, you get out there Friday and Saturday, Sunday. Either get out there the last possible moment. Like, if it's a Sunday night, fly out there Sunday morning. Well, you still got all the oxygen. Or come out there Wednesday. So now I'm acclimated and ready to go. I feel like you're right in the cycle on a Friday. But there are people who are a lot smarter than me.
So Bill, send them up to Phil.
No. Not at all. There are people who are a lot smarter than I am. So it's like, you guys got it.
Hey, it's 5:51.
We got a television show.
You guys aren't listening to this at 5:51, but we're taping it on a Tuesday afternoon at 5:51, and that means we're 9 minutes
time
away
stamp.
From the start of Quicksilence. So as a result, we're going to have to bang out. Anybody else have anything before we depart for the day?
Turkey hole. I just wanted to say that.
Fair enough. All right, Gerard left. We did the show. We're back to just wrap this up, put a bow on it.
Good show, by the way.
Put some whipped cream on top of the sundae. Real good show. Real good show.
Go check that out. On demand or whatever.
Important now to underscore the fact that that's how I waste time sometimes. I filibuster. I just start using words to remember where I'm going.
Therefore,
I think it's important to remember that there are other podcasts that we do. There is, for instance, the Expats podcast,
yes,
which is done on Mondays between Mike Giardi and Dan Copen. They'll cobble together something that takes about 30 minutes of your listening time, but it's also listening pleasure. You'll enjoy that. You'll also enjoy the Celtics Talk podcast with A. Sherrod Blakely and Kyle Draper. There's a wonderful basketball team here in town. It's called the Celtics, and people are really enraptured.
They're
the
fun to
city
watch.
In the palm of their hands.
They really do. Do you think, are they... They're not more popular than the Patriots right now, though, are they?
No.
But they're
they could challenge the Red Sox.
They're heading in the right direction. I think they've passed the Red Sox. They've passed the Red Sox already.
More enjoyable. I think, on a regular basis.
They have created more buzz in 2 weeks than the Red Sox did in a 162-game season, IMO, other than David Price screaming at Evan Drellick. Work with the guy. Evan Drellick and Eckersley.
The reason I like this the team so much is everybody's new. It's like you knew you were going to have to get used to Kyrie Irving, but you're also getting used to the new Jaylen Brown, the new Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum. You're getting used to Baines, who I loved when they signed him. I love Baines more than I get to watch him on a regular.
Marcus Smart, I feel about the same as I did about last year's Marcus Smart, which is...
So do I, but he's better than he was last year. He still does.
Sure.
And Terry Rozier, I've always been a big Terry Rozier guy.
Yep.
So...
Likeable club.
Be that as it may, on to the next topic, which we want to bring into focus. And that's the Patriots wrapping up this portion of the next six games with 5 of 6 of them away from home.
Yeah. Difficult stretch. We all looked at this before the season, Tom, and we said, these two next games in particular, that is the most challenging portion of their schedule right there. You're on the road in Denver against one of the best defenses in the league. At a place that has been a house of horrors for you for the last handful of years. And then you're in Mexico City, which is at twice the elevation Denver is. So you got to figure that out. And then you got to play the Raiders, which are one of the best teams in the conference. We thought, does this now seem like an easier stretch in your opinion, or is it just as challenging as we all thought it would be?
Just as challenging, because the Patriots are not nearly as good a team as we thought that they would be. Results are great. They have a terrific win over Atlanta in their rear view. It's not a very good team either. Not to say either as in the Patriots or not, but this Patriots team is held together by a lot more duct tape and chewing gum than we thought it would be at the beginning of the year.
Much like the Raiders and the Broncos, right? I mean, exactly. The Broncos are not anywhere near where we thought they would be. I think Vance Joseph is having a hell of a time there. I just was reading Mike Kliss for the Denver Post. He's already calling for the guy to be fired. We're halfway through the season here. Has to go. He said the team gave up against the Eagles the other day and that Joseph has to go.
Mike Kliss is a hanging judge.
Man, I thought that was fast, but, I mean, he's there. We're not. It was just an absolutely brutal performance on their end against the Eagles the other day, but that's one of the best teams in the league. Raiders, meanwhile, have had a banged-up quarterback, have had a running back who has missed time for an odd reason, coming to the defense of his buddy when they played the Chiefs a couple weeks ago. It just seems like a disorganized bunch there, and I know they've won. They beat the Chiefs, which is a nice win for them, and they won the other night. But that's not the team we thought it was going to be going into the year either. So still two difficult games, I think, is what we're saying.
Interesting to hear Broncos cornerback Chris Harris saying on Tuesday that the release of T.J. Ward prior to the season has really caused a problem for them.
Their heart out?
I think it has affected us. You can see it in our play. The Broncos, of course, moved on from Ward and his $4.5 million salary after the preseason, and Ward's former teammates made it known they weren't happy about the move. Ward, who signed with the Buccaneers, was not happy either. That from Pro Football Talk, our friends over at Pro Football
Talk. That's funny, huh?
Meanwhile, a level of disarray in the following opponent, which... Miko Grimes. Lighting the match for the Raiders, but it's really kind of a tempest in a teapot or fake news, whichever one you want to call it. She alleged that the Raiders offensive line, who she commented as being all African American, decided to not block for Derek Carr, which led to his injury.
What do you have, a back issue earlier in the year?
Yeah. And here's, as Mike Florio points out, here's the problem with that contention. The injury happened in week 4 when the Raiders played the Broncos in Denver. The kneeling controversy hit full boil a week earlier when the Raiders played Washington on a Sunday night.
So he's saying the anthem thing became hot a week before he got hurt?
No.
Week after.
She screwed up the timeline. She's talking out her ass.
Do you think she totally made it up? Just completely out of thin air?
What I think ends up happening a lot with stories is there's
some weird
conjecture.
Details. That's why I ask. I don't give her
there
any
ends
credibility.
Up being conjecture from people who know people. I think a lot of this happens with the Patriots. I think there are people who know people who then conjecture about what might be going on, i.e. Bill Belichick and Alex Guerrero on a collision course, you know, I think they're always at somewhat cross purposes because Belichick has a training staff under his guidance,
right.
But he also knows that Guerrero is really good at what he does. So there's occasions when on soft tissue situations, training, health, nutrition, all those things, he might talk to Guerrero about what this guy or that guy ought to do. But then it gets turned into a collision course when two people have, you know, when people from the outside can say, yeah, they don't always get along. Well, they don't always get along. Do they not always get along but work fine together, or are they on a collision course? Do Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have mutual success based upon each other's presence, or do they not like each other? Well, I mean, it's so right. That's what I think right. happens here with a Mecole Grimes situation.
A game of telephone a little
somebody
bit.
Somebody hears yeah. something from somebody else, and the next thing you know, you're zinging and zanging, and you got everybody laying down so Derek Carr can get smushed because he likes the anthem. All right.
That's probably the best place to end it right there, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Thursday, we're going to have Gil Brandt, former Dallas Cowboys executive and architect of the Dallas Cowboys of the 70s, who Bill Belichick demanded earlier this week be immediately placed in the Hall of Fame. So we'll talk to him. We might try.
How about Bill Belichick just putting people in the Hall of Fame left and right the last couple months? Rodney Harrison, he's pushed multiple times this year. Feels like he wants to stick his nose in that process a little bit. And I don't blame him.
I don't blame him either.
It's a weird process.
Considering the people who are in the process
yeah.
already.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm yeah. looking forward to that. That'll be a good one.
Gil Brandt. All right. Good deal. We're going to wrap it up right now. We will talk to you later in the week.
See ya.